weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Let's go to our God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for this house. We thank you for the weather getting warmer. Lord, we just thank you for each and every one here. Those who are not with us, Lord, please bring them back to us. Please bring with the message through song and through your word, Lord. Just trust everything will be pleasing to you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning's communion devotion is entitled Indispensable. As the 20th century was ending, numerous attempts were made to select the person of the century. Time magazine suggested Albert Einstein. A good cause certainly could be made for Einstein. He's most likely the most brilliant man of the century. The late columnist Charles Krauthammer's nomination was Winston Churchill. Krauthammer made a strong argument for Churchill's behalf. At the tail end of 1999, he wrote, "Take away Churchill in 1940 and Britain would have settled with Hitler, or worse, Nazism would have prevailed. Civilization would have descended into darkness, the likes of which have never been known. Only Churchill carries the absolute required criteria for a person of the century. Indispensability without Churchill in the world today would be unrecognizable, dark, impervious, and tortured." Obviously, not everyone would agree with him. Consider, though, the quality of indispensability. The word describes someone or something that a person cannot do without. That quality of indispensability makes Jesus Christ the person of not only the 20th century, but of any century, indeed of all time. Jesus is truly and uniquely indispensable. Jesus descended into the darkness of a sinful, broken world, a world reeling from the curse of sin. He came to this world to do what no one else, Einstein, Churchill, or any other human being could have done. Jesus offered himself as a perfect sacrifice on that cross to break the tyranny of Satan, a tyranny far more brutal than Hitler's, and to provide forgiveness and salvation for the world. Take away Jesus, and humanity would have remained dark, impoverished, tortured for all eternity. In the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart's character, George Bailey, is allowed to see the town and what the lives of others would have been like had he never been born. The experience changed Bailey's whole perspective. At communion, consider what your life would be like if Jesus had never been born. What would you be doing? How would your choices be different? Without Jesus, the world would be, as Krauthammer put it, unrecognizable, and so would we. Peter said it best in Acts 4:12. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Jesus is without equal or rival. Absolutely no one meets the criteria of indispensability better than he does. As we take this bread and cup, consider the indispensability of his body and blood for your forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you first loved us, Lord. You sent your one and only Son here to walk the earth, become that perfect sacrifice, Lord, that we may have forgiveness of our sins. We know every one of us falls short, and without Jesus, we are unable to make it to you in heaven, Lord. We just thank you for that. Please bring our focus now upon that bread representing that broken body and the blood the cup representing that shed blood for us, Lord. all for your love. We just thank you for your love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, folks. If you get an opportunity, please take an opportunity. Please look at the bulletin. A number of things coming up. May is just jam-packed with things. Remember, we have our walk through the Bible on May 22nd. If you haven't signed up for that, you have to register to come. So please sign the list on the bulletin board, and you'll learn more about the Old Testament than you've ever known before in 2.5 hours. So we'd love to have you come to that. Just sign the list. If you have signed and you discovered you can't attend, please cross off your name from the list. But please do that. You'll really enjoy this time together. Next week's Mother's Day. We're giving flowers to every woman present. Looking forward to a special Mother's Day next week. And then May 22nd is Graduate Recognition Sunday. So that'll be second service. So any graduates will recognize during the second service. And then we'll have a barbecue dinner after the second service, our annual barbecue dinner. So bunch a list on the bulletin board. Stop by and look and see what you need to sign. We have you sign if you're attending the barbecue because we just need to know who's coming so we know how many to set up for. If you don't sign, you're still welcome to attend, but it gives us a good idea how many to prepare for if you do that. Next Saturday, May 7th, we'll be having a memorial service for Carol Gorby. So if you have the opportunity, please join us as we remember and honor her life. As you look at your prayer list, if you would, please add to that list Bob Weikert. He is in Mercy Hospital with, he's dehydrated, has some kidney problems. So good chance he'll come home today, but please keep Bob in your prayers. Also, John Scott was in the hospital last week, or was that last week, John?
Yeah.
Okay, over Easter. And maybe some heart condition, he's working with that. So please keep John in your prayers as the doctors try to figure out what to do there. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. We're very happy to have Mark Laughlin with us. Mark is the director down at camp, Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp. He's going to share a sermon with us this morning and update you a little bit during here about Elkhorn Valley. I think you'll say something. But then Sunday school, he's going to update us concerning the camp, what's going on this year. So if you have an opportunity to join us in Sunday school in the gym, he'll be doing that during that time. He'll also be talking to junior church a little bit today and preaching the sermon in the second service also. Before he comes up, we're going to see a little video.
Good morning, everyone. We are really, really looking forward to summer camp this summer, 2022 at Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp. You know, one of the things that we just get excited about is that these kids come into the valley and their lives get to be transformed, many of them for forever. And so we're looking forward to that this summer. Usually the most significant things that happen every year are the things that I have no idea about, but God uses people from this church, from other churches that come and volunteer time and make a difference in children's lives. And so we thank you for your support. We thank you for all that you do to help us as we minister together in kingdom work there in the valley in Bergholtz there at Elkhorn Valley. And we're looking forward to doing nothing short of that this summer. And so just yesterday, we had a good representation from your church. We did a first through third grade retreat where Ryan and a bunch of the folks were here. We're down there taking care of all them little kids. And if we didn't pray for them enough, we probably should have, right? Running around with that many first, second, and third graders. Crazy world. And also a group from here yesterday was helping us to get the grounds ready. It's a group effort. And so there were several that came from here to help us yesterday to get buildings transformed and ready for summer camp that's just right around the corner. And so thank you to those people and for you supporting them in that. So we just ask that this summer, that if you can somehow make it possible for children in your circle of life to get to camp, that would be great. Could be your children, could be your grandchildren, could be the neighborhood kids that you'd like to get out of the neighborhood for a week. I don't know. But we would love to have them, and we'd like to share with them the gospel. And so that's what we're looking forward to this summer, and you guys can be a part of that. And so we thank you for that. Hopefully you can stick around. I want to talk a little bit about the seasons of Elkhorn and what we're doing during the Sunday school hour, and so I look forward to sharing during that time. But this morning, as we look at the message, one of the things that just keeps coming into my mind is the idea of that over the last couple years, things have been a little different, have they not? And I just kept asking myself a question amidst all this noise that's going on around us, because that's kind of what it is. There's noise going on everywhere. What is it that I'm supposed to learn from that? You know, there's sometimes that we go through these seasons of life, and as we go through them, there's a reason for that. And hopefully that through that, we can learn something from that. And for each of us, if we was to ask ourselves that question, one of the things that it would probably be different for each of us, because there's maybe something that each of us are supposed to learn that's a little bit different through this time that we've shared. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk a little bit about. And one of the things that I want to look at is the different wills that God has for our life. Because I think that he has some special things in plan for each of us. One of them is the providential will that God has. And providential will is simply this: God is going to do it because God is God. And we appreciate so much that he is. And I often say, you know, if I was in charge of things, things would really be messed up. We would all be thirsty, because it would never rain like it did this morning. It would be sunny and the wind would be blowing and it would be this perfect day every single day. And then all of a sudden, there's no water left, right? And so we wouldn't be able to drink, which is important from what I understand. But providential will is just God just does it because he's supposed to. Moral will is another part of the wills that God has for our life. And that's being able to distinguish what's right and what's wrong. And I think early on in our lives, many of us were probably blessed to have parents, maybe grandparents, maybe somebody in our neighborhood, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was our minister, somebody that taught us early on in life the difference between what is right and what is wrong. And that's the moral will in our life. And then there's the personal will. This is the part where God defines specifically what it is that he wants to do in your life. And what does that look like? As he really has invested lots and lots of time in each of us through his word. And as we spend time in that, I think we're able to understand a little more closely what it is that God's personal will is for our life. And that's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. How many of you have maybe experienced something for the very first time, and after you experienced it, you're like, man, that was incredible. Like, has anybody here jumped out of an airplane? Me neither. How many of you have plans to do that, like, anytime soon? Me neither, yeah. But I can remember an event in my life that was probably more significant than jumping out of an airplane. My children were small. And we went to Hershey Park. Anybody been to Hershey Park? A couple hands there. Yeah, that's a little less adventurous than maybe jumping out of an airplane that's flying perfectly fine. Why would you do that, right? And so we went to Hershey Park, and they had this ride that you got on. And it was a ride about the history of Hershey Park. And then when you got off the ride, you got a candy bar. And it wasn't just any candy bar. It was a Take 5 candy bar. I'd never experienced it before. It was this goodness of like caramel and chocolate and pretzels and stuff all smashed together in this candy bar, and it was incredible. And at the very end of the ride, with the wisdom of any father, we got right back on that ride, because at the end, guess what you got? You got a candy bar, right? And so I think we have some of those defining moments in our life where we're experiencing those things in our life where we're like, man, where have you been all my life? You know, and I think that that's what happens when we spend time in this book right here. When we spend time reading God's word, we have those defining moments where we see, man, where has that been all my life? And as we look through the pages of this book that has so much information to offer and what that looks like. And so this morning, though we may have differences on a lot of things, the one thing that I'm certain as I speak to you here this morning is that we all agree 100% that this book right here is important. The other thing that I think we could all agree on 100% is that the more time we can spend in this book, the more time that we can invest our personal lives in spending in this book, that nothing but good can happen. Could we all agree with that? I mean, that we could spend time in God's word and it could completely make a difference in our lives and transform us. And so this morning, I want to kind of look at when we read God's word, what happens? What happens in our personal lives? What happens in the community of which we live? What happens in the circle of life that we live? What does that look like? And the first thing is, I think we understand this, that we discover God's big story. Can you imagine if you was to get a brand new novel? Any readers in the group? A few of you maybe are some readers. And if you got a new novel, if you got that brand new book, would you open it up right to the middle and start reading? And just start reading right in the middle of the book. You probably wouldn't do that, would you? It would kind of be a spoiler alert. You wouldn't know who any of the characters were. You wouldn't understand what's going on. The same is true if you've been waiting for a couple of months to go see your favorite movie, and the movie finally comes out, and the movie starts at 2 o'clock. You're going to get there for the matinee, and you're going to save some money that you probably wouldn't show up at like 2:45 and say, yeah, I think I'll just walk in right in the middle of the movie and sit down in the back and take this all in. We wouldn't do that, would we? We would want to get there. We would want to open that novel to that very first page. We would want to get to that movie before it started because we would want to be able to see everything unfold. And when we see God's word and we see in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Very early on in the scriptures, God wanted us to be designed to live in community with him. He wanted us to spend time with him. And the best way that we can do that is through reading of his word. And I think we often think that our story starts when we come into the story. You know, the day when we came forward and we gave our life to Jesus Christ and we maybe came forward and we were immersed in the baptistry here at this church or somewhere else. And we often think that that's where our story begins. And that's where an important chapter in the story takes place. But in reality, we forget that the author had us in mind when he wrote the story. He had someone like me in mind when he wrote that story because he knew that Mark Laughlin would have faults. He knew that Mark Laughlin would have sins. He knew that I would have things in my life that I needed to do different, and he knew that he needed to create a story of which he could be a part of that in order for that to all work right. And I think the same is probably true for each of us here this morning, that he had us in mind. And as we look through this, all scripture is centered around Jesus from creation to present day. And there's so much information in there that's so important for us to understand. And when we discover God's purpose for this world, we discover our purpose in this history. You know, oftentimes amidst all the noise and the craziness and everything that's going on around our world, you know, I hear people often say, man, I just hate to think it. These children that are today, what are they going to have to look forward to? You know, what is this world going to be like for them? I have a grandson that's going to be 5 and a granddaughter that's going to be 1. And I've caught myself saying that, like, what is this world going to have for them? You know, it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse. And then I keep thinking to myself, what if they were created for such a time as this? What if they were created to make a difference amongst all the noise and all the craziness and all of the sin that is going on around us and seems like it continues to get worse and worse and worse? What if they were created for such a time as this? And I believe that when we fully understand this, that his story does not start and end with us, but there's a big picture and we're privileged to be a part of it as children of God, and how important that is and how exciting that is. The other thing that I think as we spend more time with God is this is what happens. We learn our best possible way to live. Because I think the world often thinks that God is a killjoy, that he doesn't want us to have fun, that he doesn't want us to experience joy. And yet I think it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, John 10:10 says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. He wants us to experience life to its fullest part. And I think it's not ironic that the first miracle that Jesus performed was at a wedding feast. It was a party of all places. It was a time when people were getting together. It was a joyous occasion where they were celebrating a man and a wife coming together as one. And it was at that wedding feast, that party, that Jesus performed a miracle. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and his love will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." You know, God has created us to be able to experience joy. He's created us with taste buds that can experience something like a Take Five candy bar, one of those moments where you're like, where have you been all my life, right? He's created our eyes to be able to see things that we've maybe never ever seen as brilliant and as clear as we did. I can remember a few years ago, my wife and I went to the Grand Canyon, and as we were at the Grand Canyon, it was one of those, we walked up and it was like, wow. And for those of you that maybe have had the opportunity to be there, you understand that. And my wife, she has a pretty nice camera, and she's really into taking pictures. There was not one picture that we took that we brought back that captured what our eye was able to capture, that God created the lenses within us and the brilliance and the color and everything that we were able to see, because God did that for us. And he's developed us where we can enjoy delicious food, that we can have sex inside of marriage, and we can do all these joyous things, and yet the world has turned them around and tried to pervert them and make them into something that's not joyous and fun and good. But yet that's what God wanted. And we must take God's word in its context and understand his good and perfect will for our lives. And I think that's sometimes hard for us to do. I got a 5-year-old grandson, and he's with us every Monday. So tomorrow morning, we'll wake up really early, and we'll jump in the car, and we'll drive and pick him up before I go over to the office in the morning. And on the way back from that trip to go pick up Jackson and his little sister, Maddie, we always have the same conversation. I'll say, "Jackson, what would you like for breakfast?" And he always says the same exact thing. "I want pancakes, Pap. I want pancakes." And if I was to ask him, "What do you want for lunch?" he would say, "I want pancakes, Pap." And if I was to ask him what he wants for dinner, he'd say, "I want pancakes, Pap." He doesn't like pancakes. He likes syrup. I mean, let's just be honest, right? I mean, he likes sugar. He likes sugar. But you know, because I'm a good Pap, I don't let him eat just jars of syrup breakfast. Well, truthfully, I probably would. You know, I'm his Pap. I'm just going to send him home. But you know, we have to have some wisdom in there, and we have to decide. And I think, isn't that what God does for us? Isn't he a good dad? You know, doesn't he really examine our lives and say, "Yeah, that's probably not best. That's not a good move." You know, there has to be a voice of reason at times when sometimes we don't have that voice of reason. And God is a good dad, and he does what's best for us. That's where that providential will comes in. God just does stuff because he's God, and I can't help but think there's so many times through life God has just run over and reached, grabbed a hold of the back of my shirt and pulled me out and said, "That was stupid. Why'd you do that? You know, that was not a good move." But he did that because he's God and he loves us. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Reading God's word consistently helps us to understand how he wants to live that our lives on this earth and what that looks like. We can become who God created us. This is the last point I want to look at. And I want to give you some practical things that you can maybe use to spend more time with him. But we can become who God created us to be. There was a tribe of headhunter Indians that lived in Colombia as early as the 1960s. Now, you think about the 1960s. For some of us, that doesn't seem all that long ago, right? For others, maybe that, I don't even know what 1960s was, right? But the 1960s maybe doesn't seem all that long ago. But in Colombia during that time, there was still a headhunting tribe. People that if you infringed upon their area, they were going to kill you. And they were probably going to eat you. I mean, that's just how they lived there in Colombia. And there was a Catholic priest who tried to go, and he wanted to be able to witness to them. Took him out. But there was a young man that went, and his purpose for going is he wanted to understand and learn a little bit about their culture. He wanted to learn a little bit about their language, about their inner workings, about how they lived. Same thing happened, though. He got close to their perimeter of where they lived. They shot him, but he didn't get killed. And so they for whatever reason, they grabbed him and they pulled him and they took him back to their community and they nursed him back to health. He ended up spending a few years with them. And during that time, he did. He learned their culture. He learned their language. He learned a lot about them. And he was able to witness to them. But he was talking to one of the tribesmen, and one of the tribesmen said this. He started to talk to him, and he said, there was one man that came to us one time, and we let him into our community for a short time. And he said, he shared with us about God through a banana stalk. And the young man looked at him and said, he shared with you about God through a banana stalk. That doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what that means. And the man got a banana stalk, and he got his machete, and he cut it, and the banana stalk opened up about like that. And he realized that the man didn't even know what a book was. He explained it to him because it looks like a banana stalk when you cut it with a machete and it opens up. And this guy came and shared about God through a banana stalk. And the young man ran back to where he was staying, and in his backpack he had a Bible. And he brought it back and he said, is this the banana stalk you're talking about? And the man said, yes. And he began to share with them through the Gospels and share with them. And many of them became followers of Christ in a very short time. And within a five-year period, that particular headhunting tribe in Colombia had went from headhunters to people who were holding positions in the Colombian government, who were witnessing to other people about Jesus Christ, not wanting to take their life, but wanting to spare their life and share with them about a man by the name of Jesus Christ. They learned about medicine and nursing their neighbors back to help, and they're holding positions to this very day, people, descendants of that tribe in the Colombian government. When we read God's word, we can become who he wants us to be. And he can show us that personal will for our lives. Now, you may be thinking God can change the lives of a Stone Age tribe, but it's a little bit of a stretch to think that we're on the same wavelength. And maybe that's true. But I want to share with you some statistics if we were to spend time in God's word. And my guess is, as I'm preaching this morning, many of you are. And I would say just keep doing that. But these are some statistics that they've shown that people that spend time at least four times a week reading God's word, this is what takes place. You're 228% more likely to share your faith with others. 228%, that's a big number. 407% more likely to memorize scripture. Makes sense. If you're going to be reading God's word, you're probably going to memorize God's word, right? 59% less likely to view pornography. 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. More likely to give. More likely to love others. Treat others with love. Many stats show that those who spend time reading God's word have their lives impacted in nothing but a positive way. All of this because you're willing to carve out a little bit of time, at least four times a week, and spend time with him, reading this story of which he wrote about all of us. How important is that in our lives, you know, and how can that be? David shares in the Psalms some important insights as well. In Psalms chapter 19, 7 through 11, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fears of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And the decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, the honey from the honeycomb. And by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. David goes on in that chapter and he said, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servants also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my redeemer. So as we recap this morning, and then we're going to dive into just a few things that we can do. It says we discover God's big story for our lives. You know, we're not only a part of the story, he had us in mind when he wrote the story. We learn the best possible way to live, filled with joy and just great expectation, a life filled with pleasures and blessings that only can come from God. And we become who God created us to be and learn what God's personal will is for our life, learning that He wants us to live. And so as we digest all of this, how is it that we can carve out, because we think it's important, God's word, and we think it's important that we do that, but I think one thing else that we would all agree on, sometimes it's hard to be consistent with that. And so how can we create that? And I would say this, don't bite off more than you can chew. Like a realistic goal probably wouldn't be, well, you know what, I'm inspired by this, I think I'll read the Old Testament this week and I'll read the New Testament next week. That's probably not a realistic goal. You know, when we think about that there's 66 books authored by 40 different authors over several continents, written over hundreds of years, there's a whole lot going on in here for us to be able to digest and pull out. And so be realistic in that. And so some of the things that we might be able to do is this. And maybe there's some things that you're already doing, and to that I would say just keep doing that. But if you're somebody sitting here this morning and you've not been doing that, these are some things that you may want to consider. You know, we probably, many of us have something like this, and you can download all kinds of Bible apps on here, and they'll do a couple things. They'll let you read them. I like it. This is the Bible I use a lot because I can switch from one translation to the other at a press of a button, and I can look and see what they say. The other thing is there's a little arrow you can press on there and you can hit, and you're driving down the road and it talks to you and it reads scripture. A lot of times in the morning when I wake up, I just like to hit play and just lay there and listen to scripture for a few half hour, 45 minutes before I start my day. And so that's a way we can do that. Some of you may want to open up the real book and you want to be able to highlight things and write in the margins and write down notes and do all that. And you probably have a Bible maybe that you do that sort of thing with. That's great. Do that. Maybe you say, you know what, I haven't done this, and so I'm going to start out and I'm going to read a page a day. Great, do that. Maybe you're going to say, well, I'm going to read a chapter a day. Great, do that. Maybe you want to use the pinky thumb method. Does anybody know the pinky thumb method? You get your pinky, you get your thumb, you place it on the Bible, and whatever falls within that, that's what you read that day. Guess what, guys? You got bigger hands, you got to read more, right? You got to spend more time doing that. There's a lot of different things that we can do. But I think one of the things that as we do this, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. One of them is this: what's God saying to me? As I spend time in His Word, what is He saying to me? And the second thing that we maybe need to ask ourselves is this: what am I going to do about it? You know, because God is going to say something different to each of us. And our response could be very the same, completely different. But we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it? And the exciting part is there's no wrong answer. This isn't a test like these kids that are about to end up with another school year, and they're going to be finishing up tests, and they're going to be doing all these things, and maybe like them, maybe similar to me, when I was in school, there's some red ink on the page, right? Because there's a wrong answer. There's a wrong answer. In this, there is no wrong answers. As we evaluate and try to think about what it is that God wants us to do in our lives and how He wants us to respond. And the last thing is this: if we're going to understand all of this and we're going to spend time doing this, then we need to talk to others about it. You know, and I think this community right here is a great place to be able to do that. Whether it be in this sanctuary here afterwards when we maybe extend the, you know, after a great message that Bob brings, and we maybe sit here and we're fellowshipping and we're talking, and we may continue to talk about that. It spills over up into Sunday school, and we read through God's Word, and we understand these Bible lessons, and we spend time reading about them. And so that's in this community here. But it might be that there's people outside the walls of this church that we need to have those same conversations with. People that we can share with them, hey, I was in church Sunday and we had this really cool Bible lesson. And this is what it talked about. And I'd like to share it with you because I think it applies to your life too, just like it applies to my life. Because we've all sinned. We all have stuff going on in our lives. And so how can we do that and how can we share that? And so what would it look like this week if this church here, that every single person that was a part of this church spent at least 4 days this week reading God's Word? What would that look like? And then secondly, what would that look like if we said, you know what, we're not going to just read it, but we're going to share it with others. And we're going to try to impact the world in a positive way, and what that would look like. And so my prayer is for this church, for me, for anybody that we get to encounter this week, that we can all be intentional about spending more time in God's Word and making a difference. We're going to come to a time of invitation, and there may be a decision that we need to make more than just spending time with Him. Maybe we want to make the most important decision of our life, where we want to give our life to Him. And if you'd like to do that this morning, there's people that would love, I know Bob and there's elders here would love to sit and just talk with you about that decision, and that would be great. And so I want to pray with you, and then we're going to come to a time of invitation. We're going to sing a song, I'm guessing. And so if there's somebody here this morning that needs to make a decision or needs to talk, that will come forward at that time. So let's pray. Dear God, come before you right now, and I just thank you for your word, that you created it in such a way that each of us could have a relationship with you. And that only happens through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we praise you and we thank you for that special gift that you gave us in your Son. And so, Father, today I just pray for this community. I pray for this church that they might be a light in this community, and that together great things can happen, and that people can, that we're already going to die and go to hell, can come to know you and the saving grace that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I love you. We praise you. And we just pray a continued blessing over the people that have said that they want to meet here because they love you and want to serve you. That we can create cultures that make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. Father, we love you and we praise you. In your Son's name we do pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.